Those of you that are involved with this gang on a regular basis know that many of us are going through the book of Mark right now, studying it chapter by chapter. This is one of the things we do. And this week's study is Mark chapter 6. So for those of you that have not got your Bible study started yet, why, this will be a little advance something or other for you. But we just take this a week at a time, a chapter at a time. And this year, we've studied the book of Ephesians, we've studied the life of David in 1 Chronicles, and now we'll finish up the year by studying the book of Mark. By June 1, we trust to be at Mark at the end of the chapter, at the end of the book. But Mark chapter 6 this week, and this has a couple very interesting little stories in it. One has to do with the first time that Jesus Christ sent his apostles out on a little work of their own. Up to this time, he's been building certain things into their lives, and now he sends them out. And there's another little story given in this, and that is the death of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a very interesting man. He held this world in absolute contempt. He cared nothing for this world. And his life was a great testimony to what it really means to follow Jesus Christ. And you read about it here in Mark 6. But I don't want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about a little statement that's made early in this chapter, which goes like this. And he went out from thence and came unto his own country, and his disciples follow him. And those of you who are studying that, I'd like to have you make sure that you take careful note of what had happened to him in his own country, why he left, and what it meant to those apostles to follow him back there. So those of you that are doing the study, look that up. It'll be an interesting little point for you. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in their synagogue. And many, hearing him, were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things?" From time to time in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will find this word astonished. They were astonished at him. They were astonished at his doctrine. There's no way to translate that into English, because that is one of the Greek words that has such power that it means they were totally thunderstruck. They were completely nonplussed. They were at an absolute standstill. They had nothing to say. They were astonished. They were totally shook. They were standing there completely beside themselves at what this man did and what this man said. And you find that all through the Gospels. Here's one occasion. They were astonished. Whence hath this man these things? And then it gives the reason for their unbelief. It says this. And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are done or wrought by his hands? They were astonished at the wisdom that he had, and they knew that it was not from his background. Wherever he had gotten this wisdom, somebody had given it to him. And they were also astonished at the power that he displayed, the things that he did. They were astonished at what he taught. They were astonished at what he did. They were shook. And then it says this, "Is not this the carpenter?" Jesus Christ was a carpenter. Why, this is the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? We know his whole family. We know his mother and his father. We know his brothers and his sisters. We watch this man grow up. He's a carpenter. And they were offended at him. The reason they didn't believe on Jesus Christ and receive him as Lord and Savior was because they knew so much about him. They knew his background. They knew his family. They knew everything about him. Why, how could we believe on this one? Why, we've known him from this high. And so they were offended at him and disbelieved. There was no faith in Christ in his hometown. Now, if we for those of you that have your New Testament, the cross-reference that I used on this as I was going through it was John 9:29, if you'd like to turn to that. John chapter 9, verse 29. He had just healed a man, a blind man. And by the way, this guy must have been some character. If you study how he answered the establishment, you will say that is a real, you know, revolutionary, this guy that Jesus healed. He was a real character. And he didn't take any back talk from any of these people. And so they're giving him a hard time. Verse 28, they look at this man and they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses, but as for this fellow, we know not whence he is. How can we believe on this man? We don't know where he's come from. We don't know any of his background. We don't know about his father. We don't know about his mother. We don't know if he has a family. We know nothing about him. How can we believe on Jesus Christ? Well, we don't even know where he's come from." If a man makes up his mind in unbelief, he will disbelieve no matter what. You do not need a valid excuse. You can use any excuse for unbelief. Jesus Christ, we know everything about him. Good grief, who would believe on him? This fellow, we can't believe on him. We don't know anything about his background. Amazing, huh? Amazing the excuses that people use for not coming to Christ. Now, I just know that whenever we get this big of a crowd together, there are always those in the midst who themselves, as yet, have never placed their faith in Jesus Christ and placed themselves under His Lordship. And I also know that for many of you who have, you know, in that situation, you look around, you see the kind of a people, you see a gang that you didn't even know existed. You had no idea there was this kind of people around. People walking around that were really dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ and were living a life of fulfillment and excitement in Him. And I know that way down deep somewhere there's this little gnawing question, man, how do I get like that? What do I do? In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And in the margin of my Bible, I have written three questions beside John 1:12. The first question is, what must I believe? I must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just believe something about him, not just know who his mother is or who his father is or where his brothers are or the fact that he was a carpenter or the fact that he was raised in Nazareth. Not believe certain truths about Jesus Christ, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Place my personal faith in Him. What must I believe? I must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then what must I receive? I must personally receive Him. And if I do, what will I become? I will become a child of God in whom Jesus Christ dwells. Well, what does it mean to receive Christ? And that seems to be the key issue. How do you receive Christ? Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus Christ himself was speaking here, and he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will live with him, and he with me." I will come into him. I will make my dwelling in that man. And when you look around and you see people that that have a quality of life or there's something about them that's different than the crowd that you normally see, that's the difference. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, lives in that guy. He dwells in that man. He lives there. I look at old Randy over here. I remember the night that Randy came up to me over here at CU. And by the way, this little thing that, by the way, Mick will have those. Randy was one of the guys that we interviewed up at CU. It was the second day of classes. And he came to the rally, something like this, about this many people, I guess, in the Glenn Miller Ballroom over at CU. And the crowd was almost gone. We were almost out. And Randy came up to me and said, I think Bill Bruce Doss came up and introduced him. He said, I'd like to have you meet Randy here. And I said, hi, Randy, how you doing? And Randy says, man, I feel so lucky. I am so lucky. He said, I heard what all went on here tonight. I heard those testimonies, and I heard Dean Trogue talk, and I heard what you said about Jesus Christ. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, how do I get in on that? How do I become a Christian? How do I get Christ in my life? So Randy began to poke around and try to find someone that would show him how. He couldn't find anybody. All these big wheel navigators were all running around doing their own thing, and no one would explain it to Randy. He was trying to find out, how do you get Christ into your life? And none of us would tell him, except Bruce Doss. Oh, Bruce spotted him, went over, sat down, explained a little illustration to Randy that explained very, very carefully in detail how to invite Christ into his life. And Randy did. And his life was changed. Well, of course a man's life would be changed. When God himself takes up residence in a man's life, there's something going to happen to that life. And it happened that night. And I've seen Randy on occasion a few times since then. And I've watched growth in grace. Growth in knowledge of Christ. But that's what it's all about. That's kind of what it's all about. Tonight, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, wants to take up residence in your life and make that life of yours really something. Something special. Something that stands out from the mooing herd. So that you no longer have to just sort of drift downstream with the rest of the dead fish. But life will enter you and you can go upstream and do your own thing. Tremendous, huh? That's what I call how to make a point. Well, if you're interested, and if you'd like to invite Christ into your life, you just sort of poke around here and see if you can find somebody that will add on you, because somebody will explain it to you if you make enough of a nuisance out of yourself and let somebody know that you'd really like to have that in your life. I'm sure somebody will take the time to show you. Maybe not, but you might be getting lucky like Randy did and find someone that's willing to show you how.